for more Domino's, Keith?
Oh, I love Domino's. Great game. You ever play a little Domino's and pizza as well? Huge fan of the pizza pie.
Man, great call. I like Bones.
Bones?
Yeah, it's Domino's. It's a Domino's game. You ever play Bones?
I thought we were talking about pizza.
I thought you were
going to
town.
No, no, no.
Bones.
The bones are their money.
Good Domino's game.
The worms are their dollars.
I like Domino's pizza.
Yeah.
Got it. I like Fats Domino.
Yes.
Familiar with his work.
Mount Rushmore of Domino's.
Mount Rushmore of Domino's.
The right pizza, up, the
right
game.
Up the start. Yep.
Fats.
Fats Domino.
And the Marvel character Domino. Like an assassin type lady.
Oh, Domino the song.
Deadpool?
Yeah, was she in Deadpool as well. Yeah, or Deadpool 2 maybe or whatever.
Yeah. Zaza Beats or whatever her name is.
Zazie Beats. Very good.
Wow, good
there
start.
You go. That was a quick Mount Rushmore.
How about that?
Show's over.
That's done. Bury that.
Yeah.
So another domino toppled over. Kristaps Porzingis out. George's Niang. I'm not sure if you've heard this before, Keith.
I have.
This may be the first place
I
you've
love
ever
all
heard
this stuff.
It.
Go ahead. Let's hear it.
Massachusetts native.
I know.
Did you know that?
Not only that.
This has also
been making the rounds, but I knew this about him anyway.
I just learned this. I had not heard this anywhere. I feel like we have breaking news.
Unload the tank here on George's Niang.
Yeah, yeah,
ready?
Get out. Go
not
for
often
it.
You get to do this.
Yeah.
Born in Lawrence. Grew up in Methuen. Yeah, that's right. Methuen, right by the border of New Hampshire, where he played his high school basketball at Tilton High School.
Oh.
It's prep school.
Do I have a brag for you?
I'm guessing you called some of his games.
I called
He was on one of the best prep school teams in the last 10 years.
Some of his games?
All of his games?
I called the National Prep
Championships. You're the Tilton High play-by-play guy?
I called the National Prep Championships.
He and Nerlens Noel, right?
Brag, bro.
Thank you. Thank you. It was before Noel got there. Niang was on the team.
Yeah.
It was Alex Oriaki.
Oh, and Jamal
Coombs-McDaniel. They both went to UConn.
And they both kind of fizzled out. But
won the National Prep Championships, and I was the voice of the Prep Championships.
Do you remember? Because I like all this.
Yeah, so how about that? In your face.
Who'd they play? Not in my face. I'm celebrating this. Who did they play against? Do you remember? Any studs?
I want to say... Maybe Hargrave Military Academy?
Okay, so who did they have had? Do they have anybody that jumps out?
Remember Luke Hancock at Louisville?
I do.
Hassan Whiteside was in that tournament. I forget who he played for, but yeah.
Not bad. Yeah. I mean, New England prep school basketball is off the charts.
Up in at Endicott in Beverly.
They do that like most of the time there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, Tilton's no joke. They also have the Tilton Diner up there. If you're ever in the area.
Ooh.
And the outlets.
Haven't been.
They got a good outlet. Not that far a drive from where I grew up.
Yeah, old Tilton.
Yep, you been there? Tilton Diner?
Tilton Outlets, Tilton Diner, been there, done that.
Great. And then Tilton School, where George Niang dominated. Like, he was a really, as all these guys are, but like he was sort of next level high school player. He was really good at Iowa State. I remember liking him at Iowa State. He didn't really project to be a great pro. He was a second round pick, played overseas. And then, I'll tell you what, a little bit of an instigator. Remember he grabbed Jaylen Brown kind of by the package there when he was trying to get back on defense.
Yeah, Celtics fans used to like him.
Hated him.
Now you're going to maybe have to like him because I guess he could get flipped.
Hard to say.
Maybe he'll be on the team. Maybe he won't be. Just like Anfernee Simons, who they acquired yesterday. But Porzingis out, Niang in. They get another second round pick if you care. And they save $180 million of Bill Chisholm's money. Luxury taxes. It was originally projected to be a combined payroll and tax bill of $500 million next season, so good for Bill Chisholm. Bad for the Celtics, though. I liked their trade yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Holiday out, Simons in, and there were flaws and nitpicks with the deal, sure. But I like that deal overall. This one?
No.
This one stinks. Unless you care about Chisholm's wallet and being under the second apron and the quote-unquote basketball penalties, this one stinks.
So they're both technically salary dumps. Right, that's what they're doing. That was what it's basically like when John Henry told Chaim Bloom to get rid of Mookie Betts or to get rid of Rafael Devers. That's kind of what it is in a sense. Different reasons, obviously, but same idea. So that's the directive. Brad Stevens, basketball-wise, may have wanted to keep both these guys, but he was told you got to get rid of them. And I kind of came away from the first deal thinking, man, maybe these will be slightly more basketball deals and maybe they'll get some players that can come in here and play. And obviously the team's different. You give up a lot defensively by moving on from Drew Holiday, but this stage of his career versus 26-year-old Anfernee Simons, who's 20 points per game in the last 3 years, I kind of like that. Like, all right, I'll see what this looks like. And what could they get now for Porzingis, who only has 1 year left on his deal? And we were talking yesterday, 10, 12 teams are interested in Porzingis. And you're like, first of all, it seems like a lot, but great. So what could they possibly get? They get George Niang, who they might also flip and is making way less money. Like, Simons makes similar money, less, but similar to Holiday. And in this case, Niang makes way less and really isn't the player. And you're like, all right, that was just a salary dump. Like, you walked away with a starter for Drew Holiday. For Porzingis, he didn't. And as great as a local story as he is, I don't know how he really factors into next year's team, if at all.
You walked away with a starter, Anfernee Simons, perhaps a long-term piece, or at worst, a trade chip. Like, you got a valuable piece. Niang is not that. And they clearly prioritize getting under the second apron here. They didn't really save a lot of money on the Drew Holiday deal.
I mean, but they did long-term, though.
Correct. They got off a lot of term,
yeah,
and they saved $4 or $5 million initially in terms of salary. There was more on tax payments and things like that. But they saved some money, but this is what a salary dump looks like, and they prioritize a salary dump. Like, you guys should understand the language. We just went through it with Devers. They got a worse return because they made sure that somebody ate the whole salary.
Yeah.
They only took back Niang. It was a three-team trade. The Nets got involved. The Nets are one of, not to get overly involved in the minutia, but the Nets were one of the only teams that could take on massive salaries. So Porzingis goes to Atlanta. The Nets took on another bad deal, Terrence Mann, expiring money that's going to be out. Getting the Nets involved allowed the Celtics to take back just $8 million in Niang.
Terrence Mann.
They prioritized the savings over a real return, which they got the other day. What about Terrence Mann?
Grew up in Lowell, also played at Tilton. No joke.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he played at Tilton.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Wait
yeah.
a minute.
Yeah. He's younger. He didn't play together.
He's a Mass kid.
He's a Mass. Yeah, I guess he was born in Brooklyn, yeah, but he lived in Lowell, and then he went to Tilton.
Wow.
Two Tilton school guys traded the same trade.
It's all come full circle.
Pretty wild.
Text line is telling us, and we did say this, that Niang played with Nerlens Noel. They did. I believe that was later. Niang was a young player when they won the National Prep Championship.
Also, do you feel better
With a young Adam Jones as the voice of the tournament.
Did you have a color guy?
Yes.
Who was that?
I'm going to have to do some Googling, but I can figure it out.
Leon Poe?
We were paired. No, it was very much like it
former
was.
Former player?
Eight teams were in the tournament, however many games that was. You know, it was all in a day or two, I think.
Yeah.
And I got paired together with a guy real quick right before it started.
Was he a former player?
No, he was very knowledgeable. He was like a recruiting guy.
Oh,
so he was like a very knowledgeable recruiting guy. He knew all the players. I just had a roster in front of me. I knew nobody.
Got it.
Yeah.
George Niang, does this help? His nickname is Minivan.
Yeah, but it's, I think, the Methuen Minivan. I actually saw Andy Hart tweeting about this. He said, I'll take the over on Drew Carter and Methuen Minivan references next year.
True.
That's if Niang is even on the team.
No Iowa meat truck, but that's fine.
No, it's not Iowa meat truck, obviously.
It's not bad, though.
But it's one to consider. But yeah, this one, now if he does stay on the team, now there's a chance, and you and I wouldn't be shocked if either of these guys they acquired are gone before the season starts. Mm-hmm. But if you're just talking about the players.
We got to save Billy Chisholm more money.
Saving him a ton of money.
He just plunked down a bunch of money to buy the Celtics, even though he was really rounding up other people's money to buy the Celtics. He couldn't have bought the Celtics without other people's money, but fine. Let's save him more money. They could flip these guys to do that, but yes, keep going.
This may be wasted breath, but they're both three-point shooters.
Yeah.
So, like, if you do keep both these guys, it is not a sign of any kind of departure from the system. In fact, it is more of a tripling down of what they do. George Niang, even in limited time, he'll jack 5 threes a game, and he's going to hit, like, 40% of them.
He's
a good three-point shooter.
He's a good, I would imagine most of his – we'll talk to Terp at high noon. I'd imagine most of his production is wide-open corner threes, but he'll knock them down.
But he's shooting them.
You're right. They are doubling, tripling, quadrupling down on that play style, given the returns, at least as we're observing them now. If they get flipped for different players, we'll evaluate that. But evaluating it now, they are quadrupling down on that approach because they got maybe even players that skew even more towards three-point shooters than Porzingis and Holiday were.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah, these guys
are raw attempts.
Like show even not even playing on the Celtics, who are going to push you in that direction, they're already kind of like Celtics players.
No, good point. Before they even got here, they already played like Celtics. Now they're Celtics. They're going to turn them even more into that.
Yeah, but who knows? It is funny, too. Did you notice sort of like the national reaction to these trades? It's like, oh, Celtics are blowing it up. Or like, oh, another blockbuster for the Celtics, all this stuff. Whereas I feel like around here, it was very inevitable. We were waiting on the return.
Yeah.
Because weeks ago, we were saying the more surprising thing would be if they kept either or both of these guys. Everybody was sort of like under the impression that both were going to get traded. And to Brad Stevens, not wasting any time, right? Like the draft is tonight. You thought maybe some of these deals would happen at the draft. Terp was telling us last week, maybe before the draft, which he was right about. And they still have Sam Hauser out there. And now that you're under the apron, maybe there is some thought of keeping him around and keeping him on the team. But I wouldn't be shocked at all if he gets flipped.
No, me neither. And I didn't think Simons for Holiday was evidence of blowing it up. Niang is a much, 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 much worse player. No offense, Methuen.
Yeah.
Much, much, much worse player than Porzingis. Now, Porzingis isn't healthy.
I was going to say, he played in twice as many games.
Who knows how often you're going to have him out there, but Niang is a spot-up three-point shooter.
But for this team without Tatum, maybe Niang's not good enough. But basically, it's like, do you want 40 games of Porzingis or 80 games of, like, player X? I think maybe for this team, because you don't have Tatum, I think I'd probably rather the guy that I can rely on. Somebody that's in, like, the top eight, which, again, I don't know if Niang is.
Well,
but a top eight player is more important, because also Porzingis, sort of similar to Chris Sale, good when he's out there, but then playoffs not out there.
Never there when it matters. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, Simons scares me a little bit from that availability standpoint, because he's hasn't been available for a majority of games, but he's never played a full season.
But he played more games last year than Porzingis ever played.
Sure, but he's also in his early to mid-20s. Like, I wonder how that's going to continue to age. By the way, I just double-checked this text line. Terrence Mann's mother.
Yeah.
Was the women's coach at Northeastern.
Small world.
Daniel LaForce Mann.
Is that right?
Didn't know that.
Small, tiny world.
How about that, Keith?
Today, Massachusetts is the capital of basketball for today after
think
that
about
trade.
What we've accomplished in this first segment.
Yeah, busy.
A Domino's Mount Rushmore.
Yes.
Lots of facts about Massachusetts high school basketball and prep basketball.
Also Tilton. That's New Hampshire. An extension of Massachusetts.
Massachusetts kids playing prep basketball in New England. Yeah. I should adjust.
Yeah, yeah.
And the women's coach at Northeastern. That's a lot of ground cover on a busy day.
Show's just started.
A busy day for the Celtics and their dominoes. More still to fall. You can jump in at 617-779-7937. Your phone and text number. Interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch and chat. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat going on Twitch. And subscribe on YouTube as well and watch there. We'll get to the other moves that could be happening. Jaylen Brown could be on the move. Derek White could be on the move. I'd venture a guess that Sam Hauser is on the move. Never mind Simons and Niang, pieces they just got for Holiday and Porzingis. We'll talk to Terp about it at high noon. We got Would You Rathers at 11:30. How are we feeling about the early returns on the Bill Chisholm era, his stewardship, his ownership here in Boston?
I mean, it was the fear that I think a lot of people had when he came in that, like, all right, you're going to come in. Wick Rosbeck already kind of warned everybody of, all right, there is a second apron that you can't be in and no team's going to be in and everything else. So it's sort of inevitable. Now, the twist there is when we heard about Chisholm, it was before the Tatum injury. So you didn't really know how that was going to impact.
The Tatum injury gives him a lot of cover.
It does.
People would be more angry if Tatum was healthy and starting game one.
Because there was like three different scenarios, right? There was like, do they win the whole thing and then do you risk blowing it up instead of going for a three-peat? Do you, you know, you go to the finals and lose? Like, what's the appetite of trying to bring it back? Do you lose early? And then one that I don't think any of us had considered, does your best player suffer an injury where he's out all of next year?
That one was off my radar.
So then when you combine that with Porzingis once again not being available and Drew Holiday not playing great, like just sort of showing his age a little bit, he's definitely off the hook for moving on from some of these guys. I think if he ends up, or if the team ends up moving Jaylen Brown or Derek White, I think that's when people will really freak out. I don't think anybody's freaking out about these moves. They're also sort of trusting Brad Stevens in the, all right, let's see what you get. You know, it's Simons and Niang right now, but you do have a draft tonight. Maybe they trade some picks or some players, move up, add somebody else, whatever. Like, it's an unfinished product. So, I mean, to answer your question on Chisholm, is sort of, I guess, what was expected, but because of everything around it, he's not going to take a lot of criticism.
So I'm annoyed. The return for Porzingis is insulting. Yeah. You can get under the luxury tax, or the second apron, rather, but the return for Porzingis is insulting. I like the first trade. So you're shaking your head at a text I saw as
that's
well.
Aggressive.
We already gave out our Hoss of the Week, but just know. Your friend, the minivan, would have been a nominee for Hoss of the Week, Texter.
That's a wild reason for that nickname.
We already gave that out. No, that's not.
Leave that alone.
Ken, earmuffs.
Sorry.
But no, when it comes to this era, if they trade Hauser, I'm still actually okay with that.
Yeah, me too.
You have other moves you have to make, right? So you have to sign players. So just because you're under the second apron now, if you trade Hauser, I don't really care. Don't love him as a player. I think Shireman can replace a lot of that. Fine. That one doesn't bother me. Depending on the return, I might nitpick the return, but in a vacuum, that doesn't bother me. If they trade Jaylen or Derek White and really burn it down, then yeah, Chisholm deserves a lot of criticism. They're already under the second apron. That was the target. That's what Wick said they had to do. That's what we've always been talking about. If they make more salary dump trades, that's unconscionable.
Yeah, it is.
And that will have me very, very, very fearful about the Celtics and their situation moving forward.
Well,
and
especially when we talked a lot yesterday about the state of the Eastern Conference and how it's way more wide open than you would have imagined with the Haliburton injury. A couple other teams are going to have to make moves. The Knicks firing their coach. Like, there's a lot of uncertainty in the Eastern Conference where a team of Jaylen Brown and Derek White surrounded with the right pieces could be a factor. Like, maybe not the favorite, but not that far removed from it. So it's a lot more difficult to punt on a season.
Yeah.
When you look at the landscape of the East.
Agreed.
And so depending on what the other moves are and what the returns are, you hope that's not what they do.
I was surprised at the return they got for Holiday, but in a good way. I thought it was a really good return. I was surprised in a bad way at what they got for Porzingis. They definitely got worse. What else is up Brad Stevens' sleeve, rather?
Brad Stevens.
Brad Stevens. No, what's up his sleeve? Because we are hearing, and Shams Charania is one of these saying it, Celtics are getting offers for Jaylen Brown, Derek White, and others. So the dominoes are not done, apparently.
Them phone lines are ringing in Boston. My understanding is the Celtics are getting offers, calls on both Jaylen Brown and Derek White. The Celtics have high price thresholds for both players. We know how great Jaylen Brown and Derek White are, so I'm sure they're getting some massive offers, some pretty big-time calls as well. Their preference has been to keep both players, but this is a team that's still in the first apron, still a luxury tax team, still dealing with the uncertainty of Jason Tatum's status next season. So at minimum, I expect Sam Hauser, Anthony Simons as names that will be discussed. Will a team match that price threshold that the Celtics, I'm told, have set around the league for Jaylen Brown and Derek White to be able to get them? They are listening, but will the team get there? Just in the span of the last 2 days, Scott, though, they've shed $180 million in luxury tax savings. They've gotten out of the second apron, but with a season next year full of uncertainty, just how much do they want to get out of these aprons and the taxes?
Shams Charania last night with SVP. Getting big offers for Jaylen and White at minimum. They're listening on Hauser and Anthony Simons, who just got here. That'd be a shame. You and I both like Anthony Simons.
I like Simons. I'll be disappointed if they move on from him.
Same. So the Celtics aren't done. And it's in the name of shedding payroll, which I got to be honest, I no longer get. They just shed all the payroll.
Yeah, they should be good.
They're below the second apron.
Yeah.
So why are they shedding more payroll again? To do what?
I mean, because free agency doesn't seem like it's going to be all that good.
No.
It's not like you're saving it for that. Now, I guess two guys that were on the team last year that are free agents are Luke Kornet and Al Horford. I'd be shocked if Horford wanted to come back to this, but you never know.
And he sounded like a goner at the end of the year.
I think
he sounded
is.
Like a guy who knew he wasn't going to be back.
I think if Tatum was healthy, there's a chance that Horford's like, sure, he's been here a long time and likes it here. So maybe he would have, but with no Tatum, I think he's gone. Maybe they bring back Luke Kornet, so maybe they need a little bit more money. But if you said you had to flip Hauser for Kornet, Baylor Shireman picks up some of the Sam Hauser role. You keep Simons. I think that's an entertaining team. I'd go with that.
Same. So I'm not going to cry if they trade Hauser. I mean, again, let me see the return, and like if it's awful, then we'll debate
then.
But
yeah.
In a vacuum, I'm not going to cry about trading Hauser. I'd be annoyed if they traded Simons. Jaylen Brown and Derek White, we've talked about this for weeks now. There are moves I would make for those guys. If Dallas wants to get crazy and give you the number one pick for Jaylen, which isn't going to happen, fine, I'd do that. If you can get Giannis, I'd do that. There are names I would trade Jaylen for. There's names I would trade Derek White for. You brought up Triple J yesterday, Jaren Jackson.
Yeah.
If Memphis wants to keep moving off pieces and they like Derek White, fine. Like, there are names I would do those type of trades for. I wouldn't trade Derek White for a Desmond Bane, Mikhail Bridges type of trade where you're getting 4 and 5 first-round picks back and pick swaps that are all protected and you're not going to see for years and years and years. I don't want to do that for Derek White. You're under the second apron. You should be done. So I keep hearing. Did Wiggy corner you about like Celtics trade ideas? Is that what I heard?
Me.
You were literally in the corner over there.
I was.
I kind of overheard. I was getting water. And
yeah.
But I did overhear.
No, he wants
some
to tank.
Right. I don't get that.
He wants to tank.
And
so this is his. But his point is,
I think a lot of fans kind of want to do that. They're like, yeah, just keep tearing it down. I don't
get that.
I don't either.
Especially with the way the East is. But so no, Wiggy's point was, and I'm sure he shared it on the show, but it was keep Jaylen Brown, flip Derek White, and just be terrible this year, even with Jaylen Brown. So Jaylen Brown and like
so
nothing else.
Your own pick is good. You got a bunch of picks from wherever you flip Derek White to.
Yeah, so say you get a really good pick or potentially a good pick for White, also your own good pick, but then trade those picks is what he's saying. So he's not trying to get like a youth movement. He's saying take Tatum, Brown, and whatever you can get with your
bullet. Yeah. Bite the bullet for a year. You have a million draft picks
and get the good disgruntled player from somewhere else.
Okay.
So whether it's like, you know, again, Devin Booker or somebody like that, you bring him in.
All right. Well, if you're telling me the ultimate end game is I'm adding Devin Booker to Tatum and Brown, that's not a bad plan.
Yeah, right. But I don't know if you need to tank for this year. I don't love that. That's a long season. We've done it a few times. You're really wasting a year of Jaylen Brown. And I know it's an uphill climb. You don't have Tatum, so how good are they going to be? But they have the third best odds to win the East. That, like, you're not bad enough to like punt the whole thing away. Now, I am disappointed on the return because I was excited about Simons. I'm like, oh, maybe you get something better for Porzingis. Turns out no. Turns out that was just a salary dump. You are getting Jason Tatum back at age 28. So I don't want him to return and be like, we have nothing for you. And like with Wiggy's plan, it's good if everything works out. If you actually get a top three pick, if you actually get another player from another team. You already have Brown. You already have Derek White. I would rather just keep those guys and then just add Tatum back to the mix.
Or I would tell you, trade Derek White for that player. You don't need to do like three extra steps to do that. I bet Derek White could be a core piece in a return for a Devin Booker or whatever kind of player you're
and
talking about.
And think about that, too. And not that it's really worked for any of these teams, but when teams have kind of assembled their super teams in the past, it wasn't always with like the number one pick, right? Like when the Nets sort of formed together and like, they traded freaking Ben Simmons to get James Harden with Philly. You know what I mean? Like you could find ways to get guys there. Other star players could force their ways to other teams and all that stuff. But no, I would try to make this year's team as good as you can and then be ready to go with Tatum.
So obviously the Celtics still need to sign guys. The draft is tonight. A first round pick actually is going to cost you a decent amount of money. And so I guess the roundabout way of saying you're actually not that far under the second apron if you're going to sign players and add players. So I get a little bit more back-end maneuvering, which is why I'll allow for something like Sam Hauser.
Yeah.
Do you want more big moves? Do you want them to trade White? Do you want them to trade Jaylen Brown? Do you want them to burn it down? Or are they now good? Bill Chisholm, they got under the second apron. Tatum's hurt. We'll all stomach it because Tatum's hurt. Otherwise, I'd be more annoyed at the crappy return you got for Kristaps Porzingis. And I'll be really annoyed if you turn around and flip Anthony Simons, who we both like.
Yeah.
Do you want them to be done, or do you want more big moves? Again, 617-779-7937. Let me introduce this, Keith.
All right.
Steve Bulpet.
Okay.
Who reported that apparently Drew Holiday is pissed about going to Portland.
I can understand that.
I get that, too. That makes sense.
I get it.
I wouldn't be surprised if he gets flipped.
Yeah.
Never mind Simons gets flipped. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets flipped. But also, in Steve Bulpet's reporting, longtime reporter at the Boston Herald. He's now at Heavy.com.
Okay.
Celtics trying to move into the lottery with Illinois guard Kasperis Jakachonis,
hell yeah,
said to be the target. Forget the name and the specific target. I'm just giving you the Bulpet report.
But they got a guy in the draft they like.
Should they be moving up to the late lottery tonight? Is that a move that we think is in play? Is that a move that would excite you?
Yeah, I mean, it's not. I was not something I wasn't anticipating, right? I just feel like when you have such a low pick and you're not getting involved in the top picks, and we were saying before, you know, I wasn't even all that interested in picks 2, 3, 4, and 5, to be honest. So, like, do I want to move up to 14? Listen, Brad's been pretty good at identifying players. He hasn't had a lot of opportunity in the draft yet. You know, maybe Baylor Shireman ends up being something, but, like, most of his maneuverings have been traits. So if he feels that strongly about moving up in the draft, then, like, yeah, I'll see what that looks like. I'm fine for that. Plus, if you do want to get down the road of adding guys to Tatum and Brown, if you hit on a pick at 14, that's another guy that could be flipped away and traded away. You see that happen all the time. Hell, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was one of those guys.
It's true.
That was picked there and then traded for a team that thought they were adding a better player and all that stuff. So, yeah, no, I'm open to that. That would catch me a little off guard, but that's another way to sort of build your team. And I think something that Brad Stevens would be excited about, because I'm sure he's like, oh, man, I got to do, like, salary moves right now. He's like, I'm going to do basketball moves. Because when he took over, he was just doing basketball moves.
Yep.
He was getting Drew Holiday. He was getting Al Horford. He was getting Kristaps Porzingis. These were all basketball moves. Now he's being told, well, these great trades that you made and contracts that you signed, we got to get rid of them. Well, and so now he's like, all right, well, at least the draft, maybe that's more his sort of wheelhouse.
Let's see. And you're fair to point that out. But here's what I would say. And we talked about this a couple of weeks back, maybe even a month back. Brad Stevens, I think, is a really good GM. But the degree of difficulty for him has been very, very, very low. I mean, he pretty much was able to bring in whatever he want, whatever he wanted, rather, and sign whoever he wanted to extensions. Like, his degree of difficulty has been pretty low. He came in with Tatum and Brown in place. I like some of the roster retooling he did, but he was able to acquire guys and then extend them and pay them. That's not a real high degree of difficulty. Like, Porzingis available, Holiday became available because another team made a trade.
And Derek White was a good move.
You went and pounced. That's a really good move.
Derek White was a great move.
I'll give you that one. But I think now the degree of difficulty is a lot higher. And
it's through the roof.
We're like, man, Brad Stevens never loses a trade. Well, he just lost one. This Porzingis trade is garbage. just lost it.
Wait till Niang, though, sets up shop in the corner.
He starts
burying threes.
And if you want to start talking about saving money, well, then you should be front row at Fenway cheering on John Henry for all the money he saves and the way they just make great, brilliant contractual trades. Because that's what this was. On no planet, even if Niang played 82 and Porzingis played 20 games, on no planet is Niang in the same universe as Porzingis.
No.
So you got way, way, way worse on the floor. Again, Mathewin.
Yeah, that's good.
Earmuffs. But
best ability, though, is availability.
And if we're going to start cheering on contractual moves, you guys must all love the direction of the Red Sox.
No, I don't love that.
Who we'll be getting to coming up at 617-779-7937. What happened last night? Keith, it's bad enough when this team kicks you square in the nuts. And it's a 7 o'clock start?
I was going to say, at 9:35 when they lose a heartbreaker is one thing.
When it's
12:30.
Midnight, at 12:30, and you're gagging away games and getting kicked in the nuts trying to fall asleep, not great. Not for me. So we'll get to the Red Sox coming up, plus all your Celtics thoughts at 617-779-7937. Aaron Rodgers also says this is final year.
Is that what he said?
He's going out.
Okay.
Should we believe him?
A hero's tour on the way out.
Let's get to it next.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is it. You know, that's why we just did a one-year deal. Steelers didn't need to, you know, put any extra years on that or anything. So, you know, this was really about finishing with a lot of love and fun and peace for the career that I've had. I mean, I played 20 freaking years. You know, like, it's been a long run, and I've enjoyed it. And what better place to finish than in one of the cornerstone franchises of the NFL with Mike Tomlin and a great group of leadership and great guys in the city that, you know, expects you to win.
We'll get to Aaron Rodgers in a moment. Calling it a career. One more year.
Yeah, for sure.
One more hurrah.
I definitely believe him.
In Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Text line, though, does not like our characterization of the Celtics losing that trade. If I told you.
Well, it's a salary dump. So, I mean, if you're, like you said, if you're thrilled about the savings of money that is not your money.
You must love the Devers trade then.
I was gonna,
you know what I mean? Like, like if you love saving
Devers,
money.
Bets, they're all good deals.
You must be all about all the trades the Red Sox make. I mean, I don't notice an inconsistency at all. And so.
Listen, we know why he was traded. Doesn't mean you have to like the return.
Yeah. I like trading Devers, by the way. I don't like saving John Henry money. I just wanted Devers the hell off the team.
Yeah.
I wanted to move Porzingis. If I told you yesterday, guys, they're going to get George Niang, would you be like, they should do better? Or that's a great trade?
Like George Niang and?
Also, I don't even think most fans understand, and I don't blame them because it's confusing, but I don't think most fans understand what being under the second apron is. There are no real basketball penalties. You've illustrated this before, Keith.
Yeah, it drives me nuts.
So, like, there's no real penalty other than Bill Chisholm's wallet. There's no real penalty. And there's definitely no timeline to trade Porzingis. This is the other thing I think people don't realize. They don't have to make any trades until the trade deadline. They do not have to be cap compliant, if you will, under the luxury tax, the second apron, by opening night. They can do it in season next year. So there is no rush. And trust me, a player like George Niang in a salary dump was going to be there at the trade deadline. You didn't have to rush out and do it. Unless your owner twisted your arm and made you. If you think Brad Stevens wanted to pull the trigger on this trade beyond the finances, you're nuts.
So somebody in the Twitch chat saying we don't understand the second apron. I think that we do. And it is complicated, but we've outlined it before.
Keith is very well detailed, laid out the quote unquote basketball penalties. They're insignificant
so
at best.
The only reason why they're important is if you are in the second apron and you don't like your roster. Then it's very difficult to make certain moves, right? But if you really like your roster.
You can't aggregate salaries.
There's a whole list here.
You're restricted on money you can bring in.
Yeah, no access to the mid-level exception, restrictions on sign-in trades, a team's first-round pick. 7 years in the future is frozen if the team is over the second apron at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Like, picks moving around.
if you like your roster.
Right. If you wanted to run it back, if Tatum were healthy and you wanted to run it back with Tatum,
you could easily
Jaylen,
do it.
White, yeah. Porzingis, Holiday, Pritchard, Hauser. They could have done all of that with minimal basketball penalties if Chisholm wanted to foot the bill. They could have done that.
Right. It's the owners that are convincing you that they can't do it because it's all about money. Because it's a salary cap league, but it's the most convoluted cap in the world. And then they put in all these penalties because they do, I guess, ultimately want parity. That's why they put all this stuff in. But let's say in a perfect world, a crazy hypothetical, Kristaps Porzingis is healthy as an ox and he's never missing games. Jason Tatum never tore his Achilles. And Drew Holiday looked like he did a couple of years ago. You would not want to tear this team apart. No. It'd be insane to tear this team apart. And yeah, the new owner had to pay more money, but you'd be able to afford all of these guys. You'd be able to keep all of these guys.
Right.
Tell me why they shouldn't do that.
If we just care about saving owners money, you guys must have been big Red Sox fans for all the moves they made the last five
Seriously.
Years.
Seriously.
I mean, the Devers trade would have been
why
way more popular.
Why do you want them to have like more money? I don't get it. Don't you want the better team?
So we said this earlier. Chisholm, I think the fan base would be more pissed if Tatum were healthy. He's got a lot of cover, and he lucked into, in some ways, Tatum being hurt.
Yeah.
Because it gave him the excuse of all excuses to burn it down as far as he wants.
I would combine that with Porzingis being hurt.
Yeah,
if Porzingis had a monster play, say they lose to the Knicks, but Porzingis is killing it, and he's looking great.
He wasn't taking naps right
he
after the
He wasn't super
start.
Tired after playing 11 minutes in a playoff game. I think that also changes things. Because at least that's how I'm sort of viewing this Porzingis era, specifically the last year. It's... Yeah, he's a really nice player. He's just never available. And now that Tatum's out this year, you need all the best players on your team to be available. So you're already paying Tatum $56 million or whatever it is to rehab. Do you want to pay another guy $30 million to play maybe half the games? No. So I'll take a little less of a player. Now, I didn't think it would be the drop-off Porzingis to Niang. And that's why it's, all right, let's see what Brad does with these other moves. Let's see what he does with the draft picks tonight. Let's see what he does with Sam Hauser. Let's see what he does with some of, I guess, now the flexibility that they have, because thank God they're under the second apron. Now, we can all breathe easy and sleep at night because they're under the second apron.
Yeah. Bill Chisholm, to me, I'm not liking the early returns. And Tatum getting hurt gave him cover to do whatever he wants. I mean, hell, fans, and we hear from them, even Wiggy, like, keep burning it down. Trade pieces like Derek White. Some people want Jaylen Brown traded.
I don't want that.
And the Tatum injury gave him carte blanche to do that. And I don't like it. They're under the second apron now. They do not need to make any more moves for financial reasons. So if they keep doing it, you'll know it's Chisholm pulling the strings. You don't believe Aaron Rodgers, though, huh? He says he's last ride. You
no,
don't believe
him? I think it's almost amazing. Now, unfortunately, he didn't go to the Vikings. He went to the Steelers. The similarities between him and Brett Favre are wild.
Off the charts.
It's insane. Like, with the whole Jets thing and then, like, the, you know, the retiring. Now, they're obviously different personalities, and there are certain things that they're very different about. But, like, their careers mirror each other in so many ways. But I do think that if he has a good year, which I don't think is happening, you don't think he could be back? Or, at the very least, if he's healthy at the end of the year, he's not going to pull the same crap and have people talking about him. Like, I don't know. You can't believe really much of what he says.
Well, and I heard Greg and Courtney and Curtis and Wiggy talking about this morning. It's like, it is an a-hole move to miss everything in the offseason program outside of mandatory minicamp. You show up at the last second right before mandatory minicamp, even though everybody knew you were going there all along. And then the second you get there, you're back to squawking away on McAfee, where they gave him a standing ovation after that, by the way. I'm not exaggerating.
Of course.
The show gave him a standing ovation
for saying
congratulations,
that.
Congratulations, man.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, brother.
Wait, congratulations on what?
On his career, I guess. He's still got another
year. He's still playing, isn't he?
Right. And so standing ovation on McAfee. He's squawking away. He just barely got there. And he's like, oh, yeah, by the way, guys, this is my last year. It's like, what an a-hole move to all his teammates.
Yeah, yeah. Shocking.
No, but I'm just saying.
Yeah,
it's just there's no self-awareness, and there hasn't been for a long time. And just anybody in the locker room who is on board with the move, A, I don't know why you were, but if you were, B, it's like, oh, great. Now it's just the Aaron Rodgers retirement tour because, this is my final year.
Oh, the rest of the league already hates him, but now the Steelers also hate him because usually there's like those guys that every team in the league would hate, but he's our guys. We're going to embrace him. You think Steeler fans? Now, they're desperate for good quarterback play, so if he plays well, maybe they'll embrace him. But right now, I can't imagine that they're thrilled to have Aaron Rodgers take over.
No.
It's just that the alternatives right now are, you know, Will Howard or whatever else they have up there.
Yeah, No, and even Pittsburgh wanted other quarterbacks. We talked about this before. They wanted Stafford. They wanted Fields before
right,
Rodgers.
Right,
like,
right,
even
right.
even like the decision makers there. Forget the players like Cam Hayward, who sounded pretty indifferent.
Would they have been better off with Russell Wilson again?
No.
So you think Rodgers is an upgrade?
I do think Rodgers is an upgrade over Wilson, but we're talking about
barely
netting out yeah. at the end of the day in the same place. And I've said this before.
Does he make the playoffs with the Steelers?
No. I think
Steelers players before he signed like a couple months ago be like, do not come here.
Yeah. Cam Hayward was like, he was on some show and they're like, do you have a pitch for Rodgers? He's like, either sign or don't.
I think it was like lower level yeah. guys were like, please do not come.
And
here.
Now he signed and he's like, all right, guys, it's all about me. It's my final ride, 20 years.
But hell yeah, brother. But yeah, way to go. Yeah, congrats. But at least Pittsburgh won't do, at least I don't think, they won't do the Jets thing where they give him his coordinator, they give him all his former receivers, they give him, I don't think,
don't
but
see.
TBD.
Alan Lazard available. I wouldn't be shocked at all if he pops up there.
That's true.
And so, yeah, no, I've made this prediction before, and I guess this is worse off than they were a year ago with Russell Wilson. I think it's the first time Tomlin's below 500, and I think they're missing the playoffs this year. And I think Rodgers will do that to him. 617-779-7937. More of your phone calls coming up. By the way, quick thoughts. You like the Methuen minivan as a nickname, right, Keith?
I do.
The Twitch chat is saying, come on, you don't like the Methuen minivan.
Yeah,
that's
I do.
A great nickname. You like the nickname.
Oh, I like the nickname. And I like the player fine. Like, I like him as
if they signed him as a mid-level guy-ish.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, here's a shooter off the bench. I'd take him on the team. As a return for Porzingis, it stinks.
I just got my hopes up because I thought they got something good in the salary dump of Drew Holiday. I thought maybe they could get something good in the salary dump of Porzingis. And they got something just, you know, a little underwhelming.
It's unquestionably a great nickname, though. I am.
The Methuen minivan?
I am on board with that.
Incredible.
We'll continue here with all your feedback coming up. You want to jump in on Aaron Rodgers or the Celtics and their flurry of activity in the last 48 hours. And it sounds like they're not done, by the way. But let's get to the Red Sox, who maybe should be done. Kicking you in the nuts at midnight is a new tradition they've started on this road trip that I'm not really on board with. What are they going to do going forward? We got news on Bregman, another terrible loss, another wasted start for Garrett Crochet. We'll get to the Sox next.